Across the Park podcast is proud to be sponsored by Globe Gas and Heating. For the best kitchen and bathroom renovations, boiler servicing and repair, and central and underfloor heating in the Northwest, head over to globecentralheating.com and quote Across the Park for a free quote. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Across the Park podcast, where the fallout continues. Thank you so much for the lovely comments that we got, myself and Judgy got on our video yesterday. Probably a little bit too passionate. But if you think that was bad, just wait till the Manchester United game. But the fallout goes on, and I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by a friend of mine who's been on the show before, Julie Clark from the Fan Advisory Board. Julie, thank you so much for coming on. How are you doing?
Doing all right. Thanks for inviting me. Thank you.
No, and for clarity, I just want to say, first of all, there's always been, whether it's Everton Football Club or whatever, there's always been moans of dialogue and communication. I want to set the record straight. Julie asked to come on and speak to Evertonians. This isn't a chase exercise, or we haven't asked the fan advisory boards. Julie wants to come on, messaged us, asking to come on to speak to Evertonians. I think it's important that we get that out there, first of all. Julie, before we move on to what the more pressing issue is and what we're going to talk about, I noticed the fan advisory boards were set up at St. Luke's before the Brighton game, and we had a little, you know, text exchange, didn't we, in the week, and you were saying it was important to be visual and communicate with the match going Evertonians. Do you want to talk a little bit about that decision and that plan going forward?
Yeah, well, we used up a lot of last year trying to get ourselves set up and trying to have a human face for the fans. We had some meetings and public meetings, and of course we all come to the match and we see our own friends, you know, wherever we go, in the pubs and that kind of thing. But we thought it was important that the fans could come and meet members of the FAB, and given that everybody's there on match days anyway, all of us are anyway, we had the idea to have a drop-in session. And it, along with what was already going on at St. Luke's at the cafe haven't been effectively closed down and then reopened, you know, with the help of some of our FAB members as well getting involved in that. We thought that would be a perfect spot. Most people walk past that end of the ground. Most people walk past St. Luke's. We've got a big banner outside. FAB are in here. Come and meet us. Come and talk to us. Ask us questions. Anything you want us to pass on to the club during our meeting, just come and see us.
Did you find it beneficial, and are there plans to continue doing that for certain home games?
Yeah, there'll be somebody there at every single home game.
Oh, wow.
I say every single home game. We hope there'll be somebody at every single home game. There's 11 of us, and, you know, whichever of us are available is going to be there. So hopefully it'll be every game. If there's an odd game when, people can't get there, but that will be a rarity, I'm sure. But hopefully we'll be there for every game in Sydney.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I know you've asked to come on and you want to communicate to Evertonians. Before we get there, I've just got a couple of little questions that I want to run by you whilst I've got you on, which I hope Evertonians would like to hear as well. The first one is, when you were on last year, I think you were on in January, when the protests were really ramped up, the All Together Now protest had really ramped up, and you wanted to have that communication with the fans, and were grateful to use Across the Park podcast for that. One of the big things that you said there was dialogue with the club, that the FAB were pushing for more dialogue with people who are more important than you met last week. You want to meet someone higher up again. And the club confirmed, I think, in some media themselves, that they were going to, you know, communicate more. Has that been the case? Has the dialogue with the club been good the past 12 months for you?
The dialogue's very, very much improved. We were obviously, we were all frustrated last year with what was going on, that directors that we had an agreement with, some directors that would come to our meetings, obviously didn't turn up, and those directors are no longer there. And you know, that last season is what it is. We all know, you know, the strength of feeling. We know why the directors are not there anymore. This season, we've only had one meeting so far, and Colin Chong was there. And he's happy to come to other meetings, and we do hope that he'll be at all of our other meetings. However, It's really important to say that we do have important senior members of the management team there. I mean, Richard Kenyon comes to every meeting. Scott McLeod comes to every meeting. We've got members of the communications team there. We've got members of the legal team there. We need to ask some questions. We've got, they bring in various other people. We've had Kevin Thelwell at our meetings. We've had some director of football. We've had Alan McTavish, the women's director.
Yeah.
They'll bring a representative from the, you know, inclusion and diversity. If we need somebody there and we think it would help in our meetings, we'll ask and they'll provide them. So in as much as if a particular board director couldn't be there, that's not always a negative because we tend to get more work done as well. So it swings and roundabouts. But also this year, we've got a number of working groups, subcommittees on the FAB, because a lot of us have got different skills. We've all got work outside the FAB. So we've got subcommittees, and any of those subcommittees can now, of their own volition, call for a club meeting as well. So we don't just have to wait for the quarterly club meetings with the board.
Oh, that's really refreshing to hear. The fact that the communication and the dialogue is at that level. Richard Kenyon, Scott McLeod, Kevin Thelwell, all seem to be, without me having a relationship with them, good people from the outside. So it's great that they're communicating to the fan base via you, because I know you do release the minutes and you release what you talk about. So it's crystal clear. I do want to ask one more question before we do move on. We are very, very publicly attempting to be taken over. The 777 group have been at home games, and they've released through their own, you know, media people. They want to take control of Everton. Farhad Moshiri released a statement saying, "I want to sell the club to 777. Do the fan advisory boards have any updates on where we stand with that? I know it's a long process, but do you have any further updates on where we are with that?
Well, I'll tell you what I know, and it might not be any more than other fans know, but our chair was invited into a meeting at the end of September with them. Don Dransfield, who's the from 777, former CEO of the City Group. And the agreement to make the sale was signed in mid-September. So from that date, there's a 12-week due diligence process to take place with the FA, the Premier League, and the FCA. So that, I think that takes us, if my maths is right, takes us about to about early December when that comes out. So that's as much as we know as a FAB. We know that much. Anything else, we'll find out, like other fans will find out. 777 made it clear when they called our chair in that was a meet and greet. There will be a full meeting with the FAB once everything's signed on the dotted line. But at that time, there was very limited things that they could discuss because this due diligence process is taking place. So that's as much as we know.
Okay. I never, ever thought I'd have a conversation with anybody and the takeover of Everton Football Club would be a secondary topic, but that's where we are. That is a secondary topic, and we're going to get into the crux of it now, Julie. Friday lunchtime, I think every Evertonian, you know, who had a mobile phone or was watching, you know, or listening to sports media, it just sends shockwaves through the entire fan base. To ask you, not only as an Evertonian, firstly, but then again, if you can talk about the fan advisory board's reaction, where were you? How did you feel? What was your reaction when you heard the fact that we were being deducted 10 points for, in my opinion, a non-sporting breach?
Okay. Well, first off, personally for me, I was incensed. I am incensed still. It won't surprise you to know that I was working. This is really important that people know this. We are all volunteers on the FAB, and we've got other jobs that we do. Fortunately for me on that day, I was working at home. So I'm not always working at home, but I was sitting here at my desk. But I was live on in the Teams meeting of what's going on, and my phone was pinging away. And in as much as I, in as much as I knew what was, had an idea of what was going on, I didn't have a full picture until I stopped at lunchtime, and then there was a mad hour of frantically phoning, WhatsApping, answering texts, answering emails, yeah, that's kind of, I mean, I'm incensed. I think I could safely say the rest of the fab are incensed by it, by its disproportionality, really. It's, we were all like, don't get me wrong, nobody, not me, and I don't believe anybody in the fab is going to say that Everton have not done anything wrong.
Of course.
That's not the case. But what the part that the thing that's incensing everybody, I think, is that the penalty is wholly disproportionate to the, this single claim. And when I read, I've read different things on media. I don't do social media, but I read others, and I've read people saying, "Well, I've read this now, and it seems that, you know, we did do things wrong, we did do this wrong, we did do that wrong." I've read right through the report now that the commission produced, and some of the stuff in it, it just seems very clear to me that some of our mitigation that I think was legitimate and justifiable mitigation,
I agree,
was not taken into account.
Yeah,
and I was just looking through, I mean, that's the report. Look, I've highlighted it in all sorts. On one of the things, they talk about the Ukraine war, and obviously that had a huge effect on everything to do with Everton. And they say in it, it is no more than the type of event that businesses have to contend with as part of their everyday life. Seriously? A war? It's little things like that that jump out.
They're not little. They are not little. They are huge mitigation.
Yeah, exactly. So I think all of the stuff that they were considering, you know, I look back on and I did a little bit of research and did I agree? Did I disagree? But it was the fact that they didn't seem to accept a lot of our mitigation, and so I know that the club is appealing it, and, you know, and I think they've got good grounds to appeal it, but that's just me. I'm not a lawyer, but I, you know, certainly if it was me, I would be appealing it too.
I think what they've done without realizing it is they've picked on the wrong fan base. I think the fan base now going forward are going to be a problem for the Premier League. We had a little chat off air, and I know, but because of, you know, the confidentiality, and that eventually you can communicate, but I do know that the fab met the football club almost immediately after this. So I'm not going to ask you for the content, because I know you can't talk about it just yet. But what I will ask you is, were you encouraged by the meeting? Because for me personally, I seen Colin Chong's video and they came out fighting straight away. It encouraged me externally. Yeah. Internally, were you encouraged by the dialogue?
Yeah, I've watched Colin's video and obviously endorse everything he's saying there. It is disproportionate. I think it goes without saying nobody was there were all sorts of rumours about 12 points and stuff like this, but I think really I don't think anybody was expecting what we got. It is disproportionate. The club and indeed the fans are right to be angry about it and confused, to be fair, because look, we can't compare ourselves with other clubs that are going through or are going to go through similar processes as we've just been through, because we don't know the results of any of that. We can, however, we can look at you know, other bases like the breakaway European Super League and that kind of, and just consider how leniently you know, those clubs were dealt with at that time.
The reasoning that came with that.
That the fans would be affected. Well, how on earth do they think the fans are affected here? Now, look, our fans made no secret last season and the season before, and continue to this season, to be fair, but made no secret of their dissatisfaction, their displeasure with the way the club was being run and with the board that there was at the time. Mm-hmm. Nobody could have been harsher to the club than the fans were, you know, and that's what makes this really all the more disappointing to hear this, because the fans punished the club in a way, you know, they held protests, they the club were forced to reflect on what they'd done and reflect on the makeup of the board of directors, etc. And that was, you know, 100% down to the fans. Mm. So the fans are not naive. They're not stupid. They know what's going on. They've been able to see what's going on. They've made their feelings known, and the club have listened to them and made changes. And that's what makes this all the more bitter, really, for fans to accept. Really.
Yeah, and that's what I came home on Friday, and I was speaking to my wife, who usually couldn't care less, but she was like, "How has this happened?" And it got me rattled. I had a glass of red wine and I chewed her ear off on how unfair this was. And one of my main reasons was what you've just said. The All Together Now campaign, and some fans who weren't even in the campaign because they didn't feel that strongly, but a lot of Evertonians were basically saying out loud, "We don't agree with how our club is being run. We think something's not right here." Yeah. And yet we get punished for it. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me at all. And you saying there about it doesn't make sense to a lot of fans. I'm one of them. I look at it. The more I read it, the more confused I get by it. It just doesn't make any sense how me, an Evertonian, you, an Evertonian, the people watching this are going to now suffer. I've got to take my little boy to a game a week today where Everton are now 19th in the table. I don't know how to tell them that we've won four games and we're 19th because of a board mistake who aren't here anymore. It doesn't add up whatsoever. One question I do want to ask you directly, probably a little bit of a tough question, but I do think it's fair to ask. What can a fan advisory board do now? How can you help this situation?
Okay. Well, just straight away, we immediately, like last year when we were in any type of crisis, we've called a meeting. There's going to be a meeting on Wednesday night. That's the 22nd. So the FAB are inviting fans and other supporter groups, by the way, if they'd like. We'll be having a meeting at the Winslow. Now, there's limited space, obviously, so we would ask anybody that wants to attend there to register with us through our social media. I can give you the address, that, or you can put it up.
Yeah, I'll just say, just whilst you are talking, I'll just give the address out now. It will also be in the hashtag below, but the Twitter handle is at @EFC_fanadvisory.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. So they can go onto there and they can this is literally happening as we speak. All the arrangements are being made. So, you know, it might not be up there on the Twitter yet, but it will be by tomorrow morning. It might be this evening, but it certainly will be up by tomorrow morning. There will be a way for the fans to register to come to the meeting, because we want to hear from fans. We want to engage with fans. We want them to tell us what their thoughts and ideas are, and we will feed all of that back to the club. We're not doing nothing. You know, we're out there saying, you know, we all support the club, but particularly we support the club at this time because we just feel we've been very unjustly treated. And it's almost as if the club have been punished twice over, really. They were punished by the fans. There's no two ways about that. The club felt the wrath of the fans last year, and changes were made. And now for this to happen, and for some of the reasons, some of the mitigation that they wouldn't accept, you know, it's not just the Ukraine war. I mean, you know, COVID the toll that COVID took, nobody could sell a player. You couldn't, you literally couldn't put a player on the market. The Premier League carried on playing, yes, but other leagues throughout Europe weren't playing, and they certainly weren't out buying players. You know, so we were very limited as to whatever we could have done. Everybody knows, and the Premier League accepts, the club engaged with them right through the process where we were trying to, you know, keep a very, very tight fiscal eye on our finances. And I do believe the club went into that thinking that they all gave in their finances, thinking that they were within the FFP or PSL rules. And it turns out they weren't. The Premier League say around 20 million. The club, I think, believe less than half of that. But still in all, that is one player being sold. That's in terms of football, you know. And so how you can really not consider that as mitigation, that we could not be involved in the transfer market or sell a player or do anything to have, you know, improved our finances. We couldn't have gone and got sponsors. There's all sorts of reasons that, you know, that needed to be considered, and I don't believe they have considered them. But, you know, like I say, I'm not a lawyer. The club will know that, and they will appeal accordingly. And I'm happy they are appealing.
No, me too, 100%. And I feel that Everton have to be aggressive in their defence. I feel a time of playing nice and opening our books and being the nice guys over now. I think we have to defend what we have, which is our Premier League status. And I'm one of those fans that do fear the worst. If we drop out of the league in this interim period where finances aren't good, I don't know. I think it's catastrophic. So we have to come out and we have to be together and we have to fight. This is an injustice, what's happened. And I know there's no precedent set. There's no case law for us to compare to. But the naked eye say this is a joke. It's an absolute joke to have a £19 million financial breach, which is related probably to an off-the-field matter in the Bramley Moor Dock Stadium build, and to have a sporting sanction of 10 points, which is one more point than we would have got for going into administration, wiping our debt out, and being a place higher in the league. It is unbelievable. What I will ask you to do... Go on, sorry.
Sorry, could I just say, for me, you know this anyway, I fought very vociferously to get an independent regulator in football. And I know that, or it seems obvious to me at least, that the Premier League are wanting to show some teeth and wanting to maybe fend off the independent regulator or to show the powers that be that they are capable of, that they're capable of managing their own game, if you like. But for me, paradoxically, I think this is exactly the reason why we do need an independent regulator, because what's happened here is that rules seem to have come about that we've never seen before, that weren't laid down in advance.
Yeah.
And if there is an independent regulator, it would be like going into a court of law. You'd go into and you'd know, this is what I'm accused of doing. If they find me guilty, this will be the penalty. It will range from that to that. We haven't got that at the moment, not with this commission. So I think they have, despite the reasoning here, I think they've made more of a case for an independent regulator.
I agree. And I'm really looking forward to this appeals process and the outcome of it, because I think the punishment doesn't fit the crime, and I do think the punishment will be reduced. Everton held their hands up. There's been a breach. Everton have been a naughty boy in this situation and deserve a punishment. And I think in the minutes that I've seen, Everton suggested they'd be happy with a transfer embargo for a certain period, that they thought that may suit the crime. Don't punish the fans. Do not punish the fans. And one mitigation there, Julie, we've not even touched upon, is Player X. player X is a player who Everton thought would have helped Everton up the league and earn more prize money, or they could have sold for £10 million. They were denied the chance of doing that for reasons beyond our control. And we were basically told in a very grey state, in a very grey answer, we should have sued him. Screw his mental health. Screw the fact that that person is going through whatever they're going through, have not been found guilty of any crime. What came out on Friday was basically you should have sued him. It's a joke. It's just riling me up even more now, talking about it. And I know one question you're going to be asked on Wednesday at the Winslow is what can the Fab do? And you've just really greatly explained it. What would you ask in return from supporters? What do the fan advisory boards ask now of supporters? Do you want the pressure ramped up? Because Everton have raised £30,000. The 1878s have raised £30,000 for banners. Next Sunday is going to be a bear pit. What would you ask from supporters?
What I would say, and I'm speaking personally here, not for the Fab, because I haven't asked anybody on the Fab that question directly, but I would say, just please be aware as well that there is an appeal going through. Fans should be rightly upset. I'm rightly upset, and the whole Fab's rightly upset about it. Be aware that there is an appeal going through. Make your voices heard, of course. No one can tell Evertonians not to make the voices heard. You would be wasting your time saying that, absolutely. But be aware of the appeal that's going through, and also, you know, do what I would just say to fans, do what you feel you need to do to support your club and to make clear that it's not just the club that's been hurt, it's you, it's the fan that's been hurt here, and it's just not fair.
Absolutely agree. Couldn't have said it any better myself. As we wind up, Julie, because you've been really valuable with your time. It's Sunday afternoon, and I'm sure there's a little bit of food and drink waiting for both of us, so we'll get on with that shortly. I just want to ask a bit of a sidebar, really. Rightly or wrongly, the fan advisory boards have sometimes been targeted by Evertonians in a negative way. Don't do enough, don't say enough, in the club's pocket, not in the club's pocket. And people have had these views of the fan advisory board. You'd have seen it on your socials. I think now there has never been a better chance for absolutely every Evertonian from every corner of the globe or to get together and have this siege mentality. Selfishly, from the fan advisory board, is this a really good chance for you guys now to come out, represent Evertonians well, and sort of get rid of any negative stigma that you had?
Okay. Well, this is certainly another chance for that to happen. I would say that, and I touched on it earlier, that, you know, we used a good part of the first season that we were about, you know, organising ourselves as a group. Yeah. This season, we've been a lot more vocal. We've been a lot more present. We're doing our drop-in sessions. We hold Twitter spaces. We will be holding more meetings where fans can come collectively, and we will always have these drop-in sessions where people can come and meet us. I would say that the comments that we're getting on the social media now have been a little more kind this year than they were last year. And I think it's becoming obvious to fans now that we're fans as well, and we are just exactly like those fans. We're not employed by the club. We are, if you like, employed by the fan base to represent fans. And I think that's getting through. And I do notice some very supportive messages now that go out on social media. And like I say, we do all have full-time jobs, and we're doing this in our spare time, and we're all working for a better Everton.
And just a final message, Julie, you can close us out on this show. On our show yesterday, myself and Gary Dunn, I ended it with a bit of an emotional message. I'm not asking you to do the same, but I said, look, we've got to be together. You've messed with the wrong fan base. They really have messed with the wrong fan base. Is that something you and the Fab echo?
I would say that they underestimate. They would definitely underestimate the power of feeling of an Evertonian. There is no two ways about that. And we are Everton. aren't we?
We are, Everton, aren't we? You've messed with the wrong fan base. Julie, it's been fantastic to get you on. I really appreciate you reaching out and choosing Across the Park to communicate. I'll try and drop down the Winslow on Wednesday, and I encourage every Evertonian to do the same. And if you can't, please get over to Twitter or whatever they call it now, XYZ, whatever it's called. It's still Twitter to me. And follow the fan advisory board. It's, the hashtag was there, EFC_fan advisory. For all communication, the dialogue is open with the club. And a dialogue is open between the fan advisory board and us supporters. Julie, once again, thanks for coming on Across the Park podcast.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Ian.